Defense budget planners debating the Overseas Contingency Operations Fund are forgetting about one major national security service. The Coast Guard has an annual budget of about $10 billion a year. Its active duty roster is smaller than the number of employees in the New York City Police Department. Rear Admiral Terry McKnight, U.S. Navy retired, is former commander of the Expeditionary Strike Group, writing for the U.S. Naval Institute that no other service does more with less than the Coast Guard. Admiral, it's a pleasure to have you on the program, and we certainly hear that phrase, more with less, on and on and on, over and over and over again. What are some of the biggest budget and national security challenges the Coast Guard is facing, and how does that fit with helping the Navy execute its mission? Thanks for joining me today.
Well, good afternoon, Francis. Great here. I think the number one issue is the number of ships that they've had. They're going to see about a 30% reduction in the number of vessels that they'll have here in the next few years. And when you take a look at the size of the ocean, I mean, 3.4 million square miles of economic exclusion zone that the Coast Guard has to cover, and they are just coming down fast. They had 12 high-endurance cutters, and now they're coming down to 8. And these ships go way out there, whether in the Gulf of Alaska or the Bering Sea, chasing after fishermen, you know, possible drug runners and everything. And it just don't have enough ships to cover that area.
You write about an incident from your experience when you were at sea in 2009. In which you saw the Coast Guard execute in a way that was tremendously helpful to you as a Navy commander. Tell me about that and how it speaks to the situation the Coast Guard's in today.
Well, that's a great point. When I went out there and took command of Task Force 151, the counter-piracy operation, we had a Coast Guard law enforcement and a guy named Greg Ponzi was the officer in charge out there and just did a super job. You know, we naval officers are taught, you know, law of the sea, you know, how to fight big battles at sea, but we're not taught how to, you know, capture pirates or drug runners at sea. So this law enforcement detachment was just a godsend for me and just helped me out tremendously, understanding the law of evidence, what we had to do and make sure we could capture these pirates and send them to trial. And it just, you know, like I said, I could not have done it without them.
You write, the post-9/11 era has seen a remarkable increase in the Coast Guard's national security requirements, major emphasis on the Arctic region. Currently, neither the Navy nor the Coast Guard has the platforms capable to support the nation's interest in that region. Admiral, we've had any number of policy documents regarding national security and our position on the world stage in the past half decade to 10 years. And yet my understanding of your statement is that it's 100% accurate. What do you think the reason is for that area and the tools needed to defend it have been kind of forgotten, left by the wayside?
Well, you know, years ago, the Navy had icebreakers, the Coast Guard had several more, and then, you know, we just said, hey, well, maybe there's nothing going on up there. We'll just cut back on that mission. And now, all of a sudden, you know, global warming, we got commerce up there, we got oil. I mean, they're talking about a passage through there, you know, when the ice melts. So we just don't have the assets to be up there, and we have not paid attention to it. And everybody else is starting to get up there, whether it's the Russians, the Norwegians, or anybody, you know, the Canadians. A lot of people are paying attention to it, and we have got to start paying attention to it also.
Rear Admiral Terry McKnight, U.S. Navy retired, former commander of the Expeditionary Strike Group. I know that the Coast Guard, of course, is now part of the Homeland Security Department, and I know that the Coast Guard is considered as a national security and a national defense asset in the planning and the policy documents that I mentioned a moment ago. Is it possible that maybe one solution is to start to include it and embed it more tightly budget-wise with the rest of the military? I mean, I know Coast Guardsmen and women consider themselves members of the military, and rightfully so. Is it time to maybe put the money there, or at least categorize the money there? Is it possible that might change this way of thinking that you're writing about in this piece, sir?
Well, what I would just recommend that Congress and you know, everybody just take a note of what's going on, you know, with the Coast Guard and what they do out there. I mean, you know, the drugs that are coming across the border, whether it's, you know, through the sea lanes or whatever, you know, and just think of, you know, 95% of all the stock that's in Walmart or you know, Home Depot, most of that is coming by the sea. And who has to make sure that when that gets inside our territorial waters that it's protected? It's the Coast Guard. So they just have a big job. And I think that the Congress just needs to step up and take a look and say, hey, I know Navy, you know, Department of Navy, everybody, defense needs a lot of extra money, but let's take a closer look at the Coast Guard and make sure that they get beefed up also.
You're right. The other major issue that's received very little attention and support of the Coast Guard's mission is the decommissioning of the Navy's Perry-class frigates. What's the connection there, sir?
Okay, so if we stood up the 4th Fleet a few years ago, and 4th Fleet has the Southern Command region. And, I mean, all you have to do is pick up the Washington Post and find out, you know, the drugs are flowing up through, you know, Central and South America. So a lot of the older frigates were basically on patrol down there in the Caribbean region and also in the southern part of, you know, the Pacific off of California, watching for this for these drug runners, whatever it is, you know, coming across up the border. And the Coast Guard law enforcement detachments were basically on board these ships, helping out and working in concert with other Coast Guard cutters to make sure that these drugs didn't get to the United States. So these ships are going away. LCS is not in that mission right now, so there's a big gap in our ability to be able to stop the flow of drugs down there.
What would effectively fill that gap, sir?
Well, we hope we get the littoral combat ship out there soon, so they'll be able to pick up the mission. Or, you know, let's fully fund the Coast Guard. Let's give them more cutters so they can do that mission themselves.
The national security cutter inventory, though, is small. I seem to recall it's under 10.
Right. And, you know, the Hamilton class was 12, and the Legend class right now is just programmed for 8. So very capable ships, you know, brand new ships and everything. But, yeah, I mean, you can't, you know, go from 12 to 8 and expect them to do the same missions.
Admiral, the bottom line here, you've talked about the money part of this, and that usually is the bottom line in Washington. But my question is that really in this particular case? Is it just a matter of resources and making sure that the Guard has the resources it needs to build the inventory that it needs to do the mission as effectively as possible? Or is there some other issue at hand here overall?
Well, I know the Coast Guard looks very, very hard at other ways they can do those missions, whether it's with aircraft, you know, UAVs or anything like that. But, you know, it's just like, you know, putting troops on the ground. When you want to go out and interdict somebody in the ocean, you've got to have ships out there to go out there and identify, look those people straight in the eye and say, okay, these people are drug runners. I mean, you can't stop them with a UAV or a C-130. You've got to have ships out there to stop them and stop the flow.